There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Snap, the kick, it's been blocked again! Oh my! It's been blocked again! He's going to heave one deep down the field. It's going to be to the goal line. It's going to be gone! It's a touchdown! And the Gators have won the game! Tyreek Cleveland! Oh my! I can't believe what I just saw!
Dropping back the throw, pops and fires the ball.
Have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Boys and girls, ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Stadium and Gale. It's your boy Corey.
It's Dan.
And your boy Jay Scott 25. What's good, y'all boys?
It's game day eve, man.
It's game day eve, baby.
Game day eve. We're back. It's been a couple weeks. The last time we talked about game day eve, we talked about whether this was the end of Billy Napier's tenure, and sure enough, it was. So it's now time for the Billy Gonzalez Express against Georgia. All teams.
I mean, I think Georgia may be the conductor.
Come on, man. I'm Team Billy, the new Billy, not the old Billy.
Yeah, you gotta clarify that for sure, bro.
But yeah, so obviously big game, the last game actually for a little while in Jacksonville, between Florida and Georgia. Next year will be played in Atlanta. I think I'm gonna go up to that game. You guys should go.
Yeah, that'd be a good one.
That'd be fun. Just a kind of a cool environment over at Mercedes-Benz, and then the year after you guys will definitely be there because it's in Tampa.
Yeah, I'm gonna hit the one in Atlanta for sure, bro. You know,
I wonder why they didn't just do Georgia Stadium.
Money, baby.
True.
Keeping it neutral site.
Ads, neutral site. Yeah, man. Whole thing's about money. You guys, before we get into the game, how about what's happening at LSU, huh? Isn't this the greatest?
Oh, what a beautiful sight.
Well, for real.
What a beautiful sight, man. Like everybody, you know, there was the big debate. What's the better job, Florida, LSU? I think Urban Meyer kind of set this up a little bit. He mentioned, the first mention I heard of the governor being involved in the LSU coaching process was through Urban Meyer on the podcast that he be on with, what's the running back? What's his name?
Mark Ingram.
Yeah, correct. Right. So he mentioned it on there, and it's just been a soap opera of dramatics, bruh. Like every day is something with the governor, the athletic director getting fired. I think the women's basketball coach, or one of the women's coaches, didn't show up to their presser because they're upset that the athletic director got fired. You know, they're making Florida look like a outstanding business, you know, like a operation.
Yeah. Could not happen at a better time. I appreciate that. I mean, if you remember correctly, it came down on Sunday where Scott Woodward called, who's the old athletic director, called in Brian Kelly, said that they needed to make some changes. Brian Kelly said no. He gets fired. The governor of LSU says, you know, all of these things about the industry, about Jimmy Sexton, about how they're not going to let their taxpayers get taken anymore. And then it just continues to snowball. I think Tim Brando is really the only one that's still sticking up for the state of Louisiana. Ultimately, yesterday, Scott Woodward, who notoriously bad contracts under his time at Texas A&M and now at LSU. But other than that, like, obviously a big game. Hunter went and got Kim Mulkey and went and got some big coaches there. Now they're without an athletic director. They have an assistant athletic director that I think is leading the coaching search with help of the board of governors or whatever that group is called, their board of trustees. The chair of the board of trustees or whatever it's called had no idea that they were going to be involved in the search when they asked him a question about leading that search. So this is just really spectacular information. And then their top candidate, John Summerall at Tulane, got smoked by UTSA yesterday. A little toxic over there.
I love it. I love it. I like that he's talking greasy about the agents and, you know, the contracts, the culture of college coaching. I agree with everything he's saying.
Right.
But it's time and place for everything. And this is not the time and place.
Winning in the court of public opinion is not going to get you the coach that you want. Not in this one.
No. No. I don't think Sexton is happy about any of the vibes that's been thrown out in the middle of negotiations, man. What direction you think? I still think LSU makes a splash higher. I know some people saying they may go the cheap route, but these people, they got money, man. They robbed children hospitals in the past. I don't think they're just going to settle for any old coach. I think they're going to try to make a splash. I just don't think it's going to be Lane Kiffin. It's just a lot don't align with what they're trying to do right now.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's going to be Lane Kiffin. And I think after that, especially after reading our comments every week, I don't know what splash hires there are out there. I mean, how many splash hire coaches are there in college football right now?
I think they may go like Joe Brady or something.
Yeah, I must say, it's like three solid ones that'll probably have you happy.
Splash, there is no – Lane Kiffin is the only splash this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless you're poaching like – Kirby, that's not gonna happen. Unless you're poaching Sark, that's not gonna happen. It's all new faces. So I don't think there's a splash right now outside of Lane Kiffin.
Yeah, I'm not sure. You know, Joe Brady's interesting because he went to the NFL pretty quickly after. Did he go the year that Joe Burrow went to the NFL?
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't stick around another year. So he's been in the NFL since, and he's the offensive coordinator at, you know, for the Buffalo Bills. I would imagine that puts him in a position to potentially get an NFL head coaching job, and he hasn't been back. You know, it's like some of the other names that people throw around in the NFL. It's like, if you can get that job, then why leave? Even if you can make a little bit more money. I mean, Joe Brady's a South Florida guy. I know that he was at LSU with Burrow, but it's not like he's a Cajun. Right? Not that you have to be, but I don't know what else, you know, connection he has other than those couple years, right?
Yeah. I don't know what's black. I mean, it depends on your program, right? Like, I think James Franklin, the Virginia Tech rumors, that's a splash for Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
It depends. Like, there's just not a lot of splashes out there. So I don't know what route. It's going to be a fight for Lane Kiffin. I just don't think he would want to go to LSU. It just doesn't make a lot of sense for what he's trying to do. And, you know, Ole Miss or Florida just makes more sense. Staying where he's at. It's not a whole lot of family ties to Louisiana. He says it's going to be a family decision, not based around money. If it was just a money thing, I would give LSU a big shoe in this whole thing. But it's not just about money. And then the governor shenanigans and a whole lot of other stuff just don't line up. But I think LSU jumped the gun just like Penn State jumped the gun.
Yeah.
And they moved a little too quick. But it was toxic. They had to. Shout out to Brian Kelly.
Oh, man.
Shaking his butt on visits.
Yeah, we appreciate everybody. Gator Track Star from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Appreciate you for joining today. Yeah, that Miami Dolphins job may come available the way the Tua is playing. I thought it should have been available already. I like Mike McDaniel as a play caller, but not as my head coach anymore. And we stink. Oh, God.
Yeah, I agree. You guys stink.
We stink. So, but I don't have to waste a Sunday hoping and praying that they put something together. But yeah, so anyway, enough about that. Game day eve. If you're here, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button. But as always, game day eve is presented by our friends at the Dykus, Burke, and Lewis Law Group. Go visit them or give them a call at 727-258-0043 or at dykusburkelaw.com. they used to work for the insurance companies. Now they work against insurance companies. So anything, property damage, property and casualty, flood, wind, rain, whatever it might be, reach out to the Dykus Burke Law Group. They are going to be your partners here in the state of Florida to best protect you against your insurance company. Give them a call, 727-258-0043, 727-258-0043, Dykus Burke and Lewis Law Group.
My lamp All right,
what?
My lampshade look crooked, man. I was trying to fix it.
It kind of still looks a little crooked.
I can't fix it right now. I'll fix it later.
It fits in with the Halloween vibes. Happy Halloween, everybody. You guys doing anything?
Yeah, Halloween. Trick-or-treating. Yeah. Walk around the block trick-or-treating. That's about it. That'd probably take a solid 40 minutes.
What are the kids for Halloween?
Oh, Buzz. He Buzz like, yeah, he think he flying around. He's running all over the place. And my daughter just grabs some random unicorn. She don't even know what she is. Yeah.
Got you, man. I'm going out to the Muck Bowl tonight, bro. The game is actually at 5 o'clock. So I'm going to head out there around like 1 o'clock. You know, I got older kids now. So Halloween don't really hit the same. He's riding around with his friends, hanging out.
Well, boys might go egging.
I gave him strict directions not to get into the egging. I already know what time it is, Scarlett. Hey, man. No shenanigans, bro.
Does Harlem still like dress up, or is he beyond that phase?
No, he dresses. What is he? I just saw it. What is he this year? He got something in there, man. I'm pretty sure something dark, like Chucky or something crazy with blood all over him or something. But he's definitely something. Well, actually, I think he's a minion. I take that back. He's a random minion, bro. But yeah, he's hanging out with his friends in Porter Soul out there in Royal Palm, just kicking it.
I love it.
Let's get into this, man. We got to talk to Cocktail Bowl eventually, right?
We got it. We got to talk to Cocktail Bowl eventually. I do want to answer. Is it STL 4490? We will get you that. At the end of the show today, I promise you, we will talk a little bit about Turnkey and how that process works. But let's get into game day eve. So again, game tomorrow at 3:30 on ABC at Everbank Stadium in Jacksonville. Right now, Georgia is a 7.5-point favorite. Total over under about a 50.5 or so. Money line, UGA minus 275, Florida plus 220. Georgia, number 5 in the country. Florida, obviously unranked in this game. The Gators will be out a number of starters and a number of players, including at the running back position. VB3 will be out of this game. Tony Livingston does come back. Jordan Castell comes back as well in this game. But the Gators are still going to be without Jacoby Jackson, Treyon Webb, Vernell Brown, Aiden Mizell, AJ McCray, Caleb Banks, Aaron Gates, and Dijon Johnson. Duke Clark is questionable, so expect probably a heavier load with KD Daniels. The Gators will get Tony Livingston and Jordan Castell back in the game. And Cormani McLean should be back with Devin Moore and Sharif Denson for this game. Alfonso Allen, who played, expects to play a bit more in this game. Not injury related, just he had a good game. So, gentlemen, we can break down the game obviously a little bit more. But what are your vibes going into this game with the new Billy G, Ryan O'Hara offense that they're putting together?
Oh, man. Go ahead, Jordan.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll take off. Yeah, man, I feel like I'm interested to see what they'll come out in. I feel like coming off a bye week and same offense, but you know what I'm saying? New play calling, some new things maybe plugged in here or there, hopefully. So I'm interested to see what will come out swinging on offense looking like. Obviously, a team like Georgia, you know, they're pretty physical up front. So they're going to challenge us in the run game. So I feel like we got to do a better job of kind of making the pass game look good, which hasn't been a strong suit for us. So I'm interested to see what we'll do in that regard, see what Lagway does for us, how they can kind of keep them in the game all game and maybe we can see him use his legs a little bit. I feel like in Mississippi State game, he kind of used it a little bit, but I want to see a little bit more out of him, especially at this point in the season. Like, just let it loose, man. So offensively, I think I got a lot of question marks. I want to see what we'd be able to do. We got a lot of injuries as well, so I think that's good and bad for us injury-wise, because one, it gets us a chance to see our younger players, but two, also we showcasing our younger players with no coach right now and transfer portal talks going on and all that. So I feel both ways about guys being injured and our new guys being able to showcase their talent.
Yeah, I think it's an opportunity, man. We go into this game with nothing to lose, really. My hope is that these guys just rallying with each other, playing with some pride. I think it's going to be a low-scoring affair. The games that we've won, we've outrushed the opponent. I think we should run the offense through Jaden Ball like we should have done all season. But there's going to be some opportunities there to play action and take some deep shots, I think, in this game. Georgia's a second-half team. So if we do jump out to a small lead, just got to keep that in mind that they are a strong second-half team. Both defenses are pretty stingy. Our secondary, we get Devin Moore and Cremonti McClain back. I think that's a plus for us. I like to see that pass rush come alive. You know, it's been okay at best this year. I think this is the type of game, you know, with a bye week, hopefully that extra preparation have these guys playing with their hair on fire. But I think this is just a game we have nothing to lose. We walk in, you know, we're in a coaching search. Let's spoil Georgia's season. Like, talent-wise, before the season started, I thought our team was as equal, or if not better, as far as, like, just Jimmy's and Joe's. Mm-hmm. We're beat up a lot right now, so they may have the edge in that department just because we're beat up and guys like Caleb Banks is out. You know, we're thin. Secondary, we're very thin. But this is a game that we're going to be in it. The spread is 7.5. I think it's going to be a one-possession game. We're going to be in striking distance most of this game. And just, you know, hopefully the ball bounces our way. Stay away from injuries. Last year, the turf, you know, cost us the game last year, that mm-hmm. bad Jacksonville turf. So hopefully our cleat game is on point. But I think we come into this with nothing to lose, bro. Like, we'll see how it all plays out. But I do think this is going to be a one-possession game.
One possession game. I don't know. You obviously, it doesn't bode well for, you know, the Gators and the way that they've played. I don't think that Gunnar Stockton is a great quarterback for Georgia. 10 touchdowns, 7 interceptions on the air. I think that he's fine. I think that he's very much more of a game manager than they've had in the past. I think that there's still an opportunity to force some turnovers. My one concern is being able to get out at the quarterback. Florida obviously has, you know, one great game this year where they got, you know, after Arch Manning quite a bit. But other than that, very pedestrian on the defensive line. And Georgia's only allowed one sack all year, which is just bonkers for me to think about. So, you know, how does their defensive line, our defensive line and their offensive line match up? You know, are we able to get enough pressure on Gunnar Stockton? Getting Cormani back, I think, is important. Obviously, Devin Moore is having a good year for the Gators. I think it all comes down to a rallying cry and how this team. Does he only have one interception? Did my facts get me wrong? Which they might have gotten me wrong. So I can't trust AI in the moment. Let me double check. very good. He has one interception. So obviously getting after the quarterback and forcing an interception, any sort of interception might be good. But again, my apologies. Thank you for the correction there on his stats. So he's not going to turn the ball over. Still very much a game manager, 7.8 yards per attempt, is completing 70.5% of his completions on the year for 1,553 yards. So throwing for 221, Georgia obviously is going to be relatively stocked at the wide receiver position. Getting those guys back is going to help in trying to limit some of those big plays. Gunnar Stockton isn't a guy that's going to beat you through, you know, the air through, you know, the deep pass. He's going to go work the ball downfield. So it's going to be important for that middle linebacker group, or that, pardon me, that linebacker group in the middle to protect and stop, you know, some of those slant passes, and, you know, ultimately just try to keep them and force them into to third down decisions, and try to figure out a way that you can get through the get to the quarterback. Florida's not been able to do it this year. You know, Corey, I know before the beginning of the year, you said that Caleb Banks was your defensive MVP for the team. And I think that the Gators are very much missing him and being able to not only create that pressure, but they'd be able to, you know, eat up a couple of those offensive linemen. Georgia has consistently recruited the offensive line well. And so that's going to be, to me, the biggest impact in this game. I don't expect Florida to win. I just hope that there's a fight in them, and maybe some urgency, and maybe some emotion on the sideline.
Yeah, I think we're gonna have to run the ball to keep them just balanced, right? And you want to run the offense through ball and then play action. But Georgia's secondary is like 71st; they're in the 70s in pass defense. They're like a similar ranking to Texas. So if DJ could come out on fire like he was and hitting some big throws like he was versus Texas, I think that's a path, but we got to be balanced. The opportunity to hit some deep throws is going to be there. We just got to limit our turnovers as well. DJ got to take care of the football. Like, him throwing interceptions in a game like this is just, you know, you want to see him make that step. You can't give this team extra possessions. You know, top five team or Kirby defense, they're going to know his tendencies. So I think the key to the game, like, ultimately, is going to be that. DJ being there to hit some deep balls. I think Jayden Ball is going to be – he's going to hit around his season average. I think he's like fourth in the SEC right now, like 87 yards a game. Mm-hmm. I think he could hit around that in the game, but that's not going to win us the game. For us to win this game, DJ is going to have to be accurate. He's going to have to hit some deep throws, and he's going to not have to – like, he can't turn the ball over.
Yeah, I think that this is going to be a game that Kirby tries to run up the score if he can. So you've just got to play good, sound ball. You know, Georgia doesn't really have really many or – any blowouts on the year. You know, Marshall, they won 45-7. Austin Peay, 28-6. They beat Tennessee by a field goal. They lost to Alabama by a field goal. You know, the Kentucky game was a three-score game. The Auburn game was a 10-point game. And the Ole Miss game was 8. Now, obviously, Ole Miss, Tennessee, and Alabama were ranked out of that group. You know, but this could be an opportunity where Kirby, you know, who hates the Florida Gators, you know, could try to run up the score. So you've got to make sure that you – get consistent on first down on offense so that you can have shorter second downs and shorter third downs. You know, the Florida being in a position where they're consistently 3rd and 7, 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9 plus, pardon me, really limits what you're able to do on the offensive side of the ball. So you've got to figure out ways to extend the drives. You're still missing VB3. You're missing Aiden Mizell. You know, so who steps up? You know, obviously Dallas Wilson. They talked about getting Eugene Wilson more involved. Do we potentially see more of Tank Hawkins? Do we see Nashawn Montgomery? Do we see, you know, any of the other guys that are sitting there waiting for that opportunity? Is this a game, you know, where Florida can finally, you know, put something together with J. Michael Sturdivant? I don't know. But, you know, Florida's going to have to find a way on offense, and then they're just going to have to really limit what George is able to do, you know, through the air and try to figure out a way to get after the quarterback. Because right now these stats just don't look very good in Florida's favor. But they do have some guys on their team, and, you know, they have played well, you know, all season for the most part on defense. So is this another opportunity for them to step up and, you know, play for themselves because they're not playing for a coach anymore?
No doubt. I think there's a little bit of unknown too. Like Kirby, of course, I don't think he's like losing sleep over it, but they have no idea what's the play calling going to be like, you know, post Billy. You know, this right. is that's a sort of an advantage if we're going to try to, you know, find one. I think that's an advantage of them not having any idea how O'Hara or Billy G is going to call this offense.
What do you expect? Do you expect it to be a little bit more? I mean, Billy G has seen, you know, the urban, you know, landscape for a while, and when he was his wide receiver coach, a little bit you know, more that style. Obviously, you can't completely change your offense, but what do you expect or want to see the most, or where do you think he kind of, you know, does make a change, you know, going into this game, if you were to prognosticate?
prognosticate. I would hope we just get tempo, like that part of it, pick up, like our pace. We're one of the slowest teams in the country. Like, I think we're almost last in, like, you know, times between snap. So just pace of the game, putting some urgency, putting some pressure on defenses. That creates pressure when you get a first down, you're huddling back up and defense is scrambling a little bit and they're on their heels. So hopefully, like, pace and tempo. And then, you know, when we go four wide with actually wide receivers, like, mm-hmm. not actually like tight ends, you know, as your slot receivers. So those are the big differences, I think, that I hope we see in more RPO type plays, you know.
Yeah, I think I can agree with that. I think we'll definitely see a lot more 11 personnel, or maybe even some 10. I think I would pray. You feel me? Like, I Billy G.
Find a bar shot when we get our first 10 personnel out there.
Yeah, like, I mean, I watching the game from the Mississippi State game, I see the importance of them keeping tight ends on the field when we're running the football. They can capture the edge. We can get the edge and run outside zone where a ball can reach that edge. I love that idea. It works often. That's why the run game is so successful, because we do have dudes out there that are actually blocking. But at the same time, we cannot, like, cripple ourselves with all the talent we got at receiver and the ability to just spread the defense out and still run the ball. Like, you don't always got to have 6-7 dudes in the box to run the football. Yeah, you can run the football on a light box. It's not impossible to do. So hopefully we'll see a lot of that going on, man. And I do think the play calling will be slightly different. Maybe it won't be that much different. Maybe it'll be just the same play, just different personnel. And I feel like that makes a huge difference on its own, because, sure. I mean, yeah, defense has to now change their personnel. And now we test not your DBs versus our receivers for real. And your linebacker on our running back in a light box and one-on-one tackling kind of deal. We say he's actually got to make a decision. So I know we'll have those screens in full effect. they're always in full effect. Funny enough, he did go that screen and go, and he was late, and it was a pick. So
it was there. He was just late.
Yeah, it was there. So hopefully it's coming back. Hopefully my boy can hit it on time this time, and we gonna be good. I think we'll be all right versus Georgia, bro. I feel like this game has so much meaning behind it and a rivalry. It's hard for them boys not to go out there and play hard, regardless of the records or rankings of either team.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm not concerned about the players. I'm sorry, Dan. I'm not concerned about the players and them, like, the rivalry, them checking out, any of that, bro. We got a good group of guys. Watching Graham speak this week and them talking about trying to keep this team together throughout this coaching search and everything. That was, like, they got a good group of guys in that locker room. So I'm not concerned with that part of it. And also, just tendency-wise, changing the personnel, that's going to help us as well, because I think we telegraph a lot of what we're doing by personnel usage. And that could be something that just helps us this week, is changing some of our tendencies because Billy's not here.
No, absolutely. Jordan, were you there when McElwain got fired?
That was the year after, right?
Well, then never mind. Yeah, I mean, I hope.
He was there for a firing. You were there for a firing. Which firing? Who was that?
No, I was around, but I wasn't literally in the room when.
No. But you were around the team when McElwain got fired. What's kind of the mentality of the players when that happens?
I think it just instantly went to, like I said, even when Billy got fired, I feel like, regardless of how we feel about Billy, all these players care about Billy. Like, he spent time and recruited and got all these guys to come to this school. You're not coming to no school if you don't like this coach. So I think at that point, everybody kind of just turned on a let's play for coach type deal to kind of prove everybody wrong, and that, like, he has something good going here and we all worth something. Because it almost, as a player, you almost feel like it's your fault when your coach is fired. Obviously. You have to a certain extent, because you feel like, damn, I didn't perform good enough and we didn't win ball games, so he got fired for real. And, like, I feel like that makes you want to play harder for yourself, play harder for the coach that recruited you and gave you this opportunity. Obviously, he's no longer there, but, like, just showing and showcasing that all the hard work that y'all been through and the grind y'all did to get where y'all are now. So I think that's kind of where most kids go, their minds go. And, you know, you got a few who are kind of checked out, especially nowadays with the portal. Probably got a few kids already in their head saying that they leaving kind of deal.
They got a long way, Jordan.
Right. I already know. So
they got a long wait because now they got to wait for the whole a new coach to be hired. And then they, you know, I think 5 days after that, they get their, the chance to exit. So if their mind's on the portal, it's just a long wait. They're like me right now with this coaching. I got to check out, man. It's a long, we got a long ride.
Yeah, we got a long time before we know anything for real.
Yeah.
Well, this is going to be an opportunity for those guys to prove to the next coach, you know, put some stuff on tape as well. Right. You know, there's a lot of injuries. There's some guys that are the second, third string that are playing in there. The new coaching staff, whenever that gets hired, is going to start looking at games like this. Right. And so, you know, really looking forward to seeing how the team, you know, shows up, what kind of energy, enthusiasm, you know, there's certainly a lot more, emotion, I think, from Billy Gonzalez than there is from Billy Napier. I don't think it's Will Muschamp type enthusiasm, but I definitely think that there's a different vibe and energy, you know, with Billy G. And I think that you'll see a little bit more of that. You know, am interested in Ryan O'Hara. Very interested to see how his role evolves over the next couple of weeks as well. What tomorrow looks like, you know, does he have full control of the offense? Does it still go through Billy G? You know, I know that they said it's by committee, but very interested to see what that looks like because he's not called plays in 5 years. So he's a little rusty.
I mean, he's called a spring game. I like the way he called it in the spring games, right? We had more tempo at the spring game. I know it wasn't televised, so all y'all didn't get to witness it. But there was more tempo. There's more pace. You know, I think him and Callaway called the spring game. You could tell there was something different about, you know, the sets. It wasn't tight ends in the slots. We were 4 and 5 wide. I had a little hope about our offense this year from that spring game. So he's had a few spring games just to you know, play around with it. So it ain't the actual game. I am aware that it's not the actual, you know, calling against Kirby Smart, but I think he's a big part of the preparation. I think, you know, anything besides the same vanilla, you know, look that we've been getting. I'm just hoping O'Hara doesn't want to go with the tight end sets, man. I think we just got to go 4 and 5 wide and lean into our shrimps. I think a lot of what we were missing is just simple things. I think Billy was just stubborn to, you know, to his own detriment, but just going 4 and 5 wide with all these skilled players put a lot of pressure on any defense. So we'll see, man. Yeah.
It's gonna be very frustrating to see if the offense does hum a little bit better with these four and, you know, four out or four wide out situations. So, you know, all in all, you know, tomorrow is going to be an interesting game. Probably not the team that you want to go up against in your first game, but also you got to play who's on your schedule. And, you know, I think that Florida does have some good players. Let's just run through Georgia just so you guys are familiar with some of the names. Leading the team in rushing is Chauncey Bowens, the former Florida Gator commit with 376 yards and 70 attempts, 4 touchdowns, 5.4 yards per attempt. I know you both are familiar with the name Chauncey Bowens. Nate Frazier, second on the team, 349 yards on 77 attempts, 4.5 yards per attempt, 2 touchdowns and 2 fumbles. Gunnar Stockton has 298 yards on 56 attempts, 5.3 yards, 7 touchdowns, 2 fumbles. And then Dwight Phillips Jr., 142 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 fumble. At wide receiver, their leading player, Zachariah Branch, the former USC transfer, 362 yards, 2 touchdowns. Colby Young, 336 yards, 14.6 yards per reception, 1 touchdown. And London Humphrey, 185 yards. And then I guess Dylan Bell, 146 yards. They do spread the ball out. A lot of guys that have gotten, you know, some decent burn this season. And then Cash Jones is a name that I know a lot of Gator fans are familiar with. He's back there as kind of a receiving running back for them. Mentioned the offensive line only allowing 1 sack on the season. Their defense has 7 sacks on the season, 13 hits, 62 hurries, and probably the guy that you need to the guys you need to be most familiar with on defense are CJ Allen, Christian Miller, KJ Bolden, the FSU transfer, Justin Williams, the linebacker, and Ja'Cory Thomas.
KJ Flip, he didn't transfer.
Oh, that's right. He flipped the day of, right? My bad. My bad.
Smart kid.
Smart kid. Got an opportunity for himself. All sorts of fact errors today from Dan. So that's where they're at. Let's see. Special teams of anything of note. Nick's not here, so we don't have to talk about punting. Their kickers only have one kick. On the
could be crucial in a game like this. Field possession could, you know, position could be crucial, man. So
yeah, I wonder who's gonna be the punt returner. No VB3. Tank.
I would put Tank back there in my opinion.
Yeah, because I think next it would have been Duke Clark, because I thought he was on kick return, but I'm assuming it'll be Tank or maybe Eugene Wilson.
I wouldn't mind Eugene back there either, but I would go with Tank just from a top end speed. You know, get a guy a chance to get his hands on the ball.
Yeah,
I almost want a pregame scuffle, like come in, like you remember that year where Mark Rick had his whole team run on the field just doing like ridiculous. I don't want to do anything like that, but they had nothing to lose that year, right? And they just muddied it up, made it weird, and we end up losing that game. Urban made him pay for it every year after that, but. I wouldn't mind a pregame scuffle, you know, like just something to throw Kirby in them, just come in with a little bit of edge. And these guys are with that, right? Like Jaluk, you're out of here already. Y'all been get suspended again, bro. Like let's get this is Georgia week, bro. Like, let's get nasty. Like, get another suspension, Jaluk. Let's start a fight. That's what I'm with.
Sorry, I have somebody calling me on the on my computer. So, Corey, I like that energy. I mean, you don't really have a lot to play for other than yourselves right now. So whatever you have to do to motivate the team, to get the team excited and ready to go, you shouldn't have to get excited and ready to go against Georgia, but you've had 2 weeks off now. The world thinks that you're a toxic fan base and that you shouldn't be able to get your top target, and that Florida really needs to be looking, you know, a level below, and maybe the talent's not as good. And you've kind of heard all of these things the last 2 weeks. This is an opportunity for you to go out and prove something different and at least have a little bit of fight in you. Like I said, that's the one thing that I'm hopeful for, that this team has a little bit more excitement, energy, and enthusiasm in them than they've previously had. And I think that a lot of that goes back to the sidelines. So, we'll see. Big week against Georgia in Jacksonville. Enjoy the last cocktail party in Jacksonville for the last couple of seasons. Let's get into a little bit of buy or sell here, and then we'll wrap up here. Over under DJ Lagway throwing for 225 yards. We'll go Corey Jordan and then me.
Yeah, they're 71st in the country in passing yards allowed. They're around the same area as Texas. And DJ was, you know, on this game there. And I think Billy G is going to want to feed his receivers, unlike, you know, the previous play calling. So, yeah, give me an over.
Jordan.
I like the over on this one, and I feel like we'll be and it'll be a close game, in my opinion. So I feel like we need to throw the ball to kind of stay in it and or win it.
Yeah, no, I like the over too. You know, Lagway has another 2 weeks to prepare, get better. 225 is not a lot with how much I think that they're going to probably run the ball, which leads us into Jaden Ball getting 80 yards or more in this game. Gators average about 130 a game rushing.
I think his personal average is about 87. Put me at over 80.
Yeah, I like the over on that one too. Just because I feel like Duke Clark's hurt, so he's out. So I don't know how much Kaden Daniels will be getting in and getting reps. So it'll probably be a heavy ball. And you know, once you get that cat close to 20 carries, what you gonna get out of him?
Facts. Yeah, I like that. I've got over as well. Will the Gators, Georgia's only allowed one sack all year. Will the Gators get a sack in this game?
Yeah, I think we get a sack, man. I'm going to call one of the linebackers on a blitz. I think run, dial something up, and we get one from five, man.
Shout out to Five. He's becoming one of my favorite Gators, man. Like,
yeah, he's incredible.
Incredible kid.
Who knows? Yeah, maybe we'll get an Alphonso Allen sack too.
Yeah, I like the over in this spot too, man. I feel like we got some dudes in the back end coming back, so maybe we'll be able to get a coverage sack or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I am a little worried. Gunner is a more mobile quarterback. Florida usually struggles against mobile quarterbacks, but I do like the Gators to get a sack. Will the Gators get an interception? Gunner's only thrown one all year.
I like – just get back to the mobile part, what you were speaking on. I thought we kept – because Beck could get out of the pocket and run some, right? Our linebackers, they can move, get sideline to sideline. I don't know any quarterback that has really got out and really – cause us problems like that this season. Like, we got some linebackers that could run, so that's gonna be an interesting one to watch. What's our next over under?
Interceptions.
I mean, he's pretty safe with the ball.
Yeah,
we haven't been. I'm gonna just take the under. We just haven't been getting turnovers like that this year. So, give me the over. Yeah, give me the over.
Give me the over. Okay.
I think Ron Roberts had Bobo's number last year. It was Beck, but I think he had the number. We were just in the right spot, bro. And I think, you know, we could probably a lot of mirror technique that we used last year was able to rob him, but we just missing some guys, man. I wish I had Aaron Gates. Anywho, I think give me Cromani for one.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I like the over as well, man. I just feel like this quarterback hasn't given up much interceptions all year, but it's a time for everything. And I feel like this type of rivalry game is where the turnovers and crazy stuff happens, where especially, like you mentioned, we're playing for nothing. So tip balls and overthrows, we should be able to take advantage of those. Maybe our guys are in the right spot at the right time. I just feel like this is that type of rivalry when all that stuff comes out. So put me on board for one interception.
I'm going to go over two. I think the boys play hard. We're going a lot of different ways in the Gators' direction. I just, yeah. Gators 7.5-point dogs. What do you like? Think the Gators cover?
Bruh, I got us winning, man. I'm just sorry. I ain't finna say we about to lose to Georgia. I ain't got it in me. Yeah. give me the upset, bro. That'd be a magical season for me, man. A year where we get a new coach, you know, and could throw a wrench into Georgia's plans. They trying to get, you know, SEC championship and get a good position in the playoffs. So, man, I think we got the talent to do it. We're banged up, but this is me just throwing a Hail Mary, right? This is a little bit of football logic is out the window here, right? We just talking straight. Yeah. We're in fandom mode. But I think we
don't matter anymore, Corey.
Billy G get the Gatorade bath, man.
What color Gatorade?
Yeah, I think the Gators cover this one as well, man. I feel like it'll be a real close game. I think it'll be a one possession game, like a last drive kind of deal. Whoever has the ball last will win the game kind of deal if they can go in and punch it in. So I feel like we'll score in the 30s range maybe. So, yeah, I'm taking me with the 7.5. I'm with that.
Yeah, I've got a dissent just because I think the injuries are going to hurt us, not necessarily at the beginning, just at the end, and that's not anything more than I think that the Gators will play hard. I think that the offense will hopefully look a little bit different. You know, Florida will hopefully be kind of on a bit of an easier schedule going into November too. So, you know, I think that there's an opportunity for Billy G to rattle off some wins to end the year. I don't know if they have the guys – with all the injuries that they have, especially at some key positions. I am excited to watch that. So I'm going to say no for the Gators winning or covering the spread in this one. Ooh. I hope that it's not a blowout.
Nobody's blowing us out, Dan. It's just not happening.
It was supposed to get blown out a lot this year. It was supposed to get blown out. And it just hasn't happened.
We've been in every game.
Yeah, do five interceptions and then get blown out.
It's crazy.
Nuts.
Yeah.
That's maybe why Brian Kelly got fired.
Probably.
One of the reasons, for sure. Now, this team has talent, man. As poorly as the game plans have been, as poorly as the play calling has been, we've been in every single game with opportunity to win against a lot of playoff teams, and Georgia's right in the in that whole realm. And we got a bye week. I just think it's going to be a game. I don't foresee a blowout.
I would not be surprised if Georgia is struggling with the offense, if it can be different and if it's called differently, because I think that they're going to use a lot of different plays and a lot of different personnel out there than they've. There's really no way. How do you prepare for Billy Gonzalez or Ryan O'Hara for that matter? You can't. I mean, you can line up and you can kind of match up schematically, but you don't have any, you have zero tape of any.
Gonna
of them.
Catch him all. I think we could catch him off guard early, but Kirby adjusts, you know, like he's gonna figure out exactly what we're doing at some point. But I think we do have an advantage to start with some stuff that they haven't seen, or you know, personnel and just tendencies that they haven't seen that can give us a little bit of edge. Because our biggest thing is everybody know our tendencies right now.
Yeah, no, 100%. And so I'm looking forward to them airing the ball out. I'm hoping that it's a more fun team to watch. That's what I want over the next 5 weeks. Is this like an enjoyable thing, right? And not that you're like clawing your eyes out watching this the offense move at a glacial pace. I'm hoping that they, Corey, you mentioned, get to the line a little bit quicker, maybe run a little bit more tempo there. And then I'm just hoping that they can capitalize in some momentum. This is an opportunity where Georgia has zero idea of what to expect. They can scout for the players, but you can't scout for the offense because I do think it will be different. So I'm hopeful and I'm prayful, and I hope to the good Lord above that I'm wrong about my projection here, because tomorrow's going to be a big day if we pull off the W. Big day. Putting some feet on tables.
Oh, yeah. to say the least, my boy. To say the least, brother.
I have a couple friends going up to Athens for the Georgia game in a couple weeks. I might go join them just to wear my Gator shirt proudly at Sanford Stadium.
You don't might care.
I do not care.
Hey, you too. You're a little like Mike Norvell at the presser, man. We ever find out why Mike Norvell had a black eye? Anybody ever find out? No?
No. Probably punched the guy that he thought was responsible for the issue. All right, I do want to answer. There was that question earlier, and I delayed talking about it. STL, we'll talk a little bit more about it on Monday if you want as well. How does Turnkey work? So the Gators right now are engaged with Turnkey ZRG, their search firm. We talk a lot in – sorry, I'm just pulling something up here. They talk a lot about coaches – having lists and what those lists look like, and coaches only going after, you know, people on their list. And while that's true and coaches do have a list, they're going to use a search firm for a variety of reasons. One, athletic directors can't watch all of the games. They don't know all of the analytics. They don't know all of the stats. What Turnkey is going to do is they're going to do a portfolio based analysis over candidates that you want them to look at, as well as candidates that they bring on their own. They're going to run through the pros, the cons. They're going to do the research on stats, analytics, tendencies, personnel, what kind of things have troubled them in the past. You know, they're going to do, you know, full on screens and synopsis on, you know, a lot of different people. They might bring 15, 20 people to Scott Strickland or to the group that's deciding on what this looks like. And so that's going to be a lot of well-balanced research, talking to agents, talking to other people that are in the field. Turnkey has people that have worked in the profession before. They are very well connected in the industry of coaching. So they're going to do all of that for you. They're going to do references, and it's not the same references that you would have if you were getting, you know, going for a job. Is this person show up on time and all of that? You know, they're going to ask, what is it like to work with that person? What is it like after a win? What is it like after a loss? What does the offseason look like? What do meetings look like? What does the structure of an organizational meeting look like? What kind of responsibilities do they give certain coaches, certain personnel? What would they want a personnel department to look like? Or what does the personnel departments that they've had in the past, what does turnover look like from an assistant coaching perspective, from a player development player personnel department. What is it like to work like, or what is it like to work with this person as an administrator? So they're going to do all of that. That's going to take 2 to 3 weeks. After that, they're going to start whittling things down, and they're going to start really trying to understand what the numbers are. What are they looking for in a contract? A contract is a lot more than just dollars and cents. What does that look like in terms of responsibilities? What does it look like in terms of media engagements, or what they're expected to do outside of their job as a head coach? But ultimately, and feel free to DM me, STL. We can talk a little bit more about this. I don't want to get too long-winded. But what they're going to do is then they are also your arm's length distance away. There's no requirement for any of that information to be public that they ask. They can ask a lot of questions. They can ask more personal information than maybe a university is allowed to have. There might be limitations about what a state-run university is allowed to ask or allowed to collect on a candidate that they can find out on their own. They're also going to do a lot of the heavy lifting. You don't want Scott Strickland calling Jimmy Sexton and negotiating multiple times a day or multiple times a week, or you know, really sitting on these phone. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, man.
So they're going to help with understanding contracts, what they're looking for, and everything else. Ultimately, they're going to be the ones that deliver the contract to the candidate as well. The reason that they do that is because you can say that, hey, we only offered the job to one person. That one person took it. There's a lot of different steps along the way. Like I said, one, it's an arm's length distance. Two, it's being able to spend an entire job of probably 3 or 4 individuals that are going to be potentially more. You know, it really depends on how they want to set up the department or the group that's going to be taking on the search. The guy's name is Chad that's leading the group. I'm not going to tell you his last name because I don't want you guys going to stalk his LinkedIn, but he's the guy that's going to be leading the search. He's going to have research assistants. He's going to have other people. I'm not telling that you can't go find it, but I'm just not going to give you your full name here. But you guys know where to go if you need. And so there's going to be a lot when it comes to research, a lot when it comes to documentation. Ultimately, the goal of the search firm is to do and be the research arm on behalf of the university and make sure that they're making the best and most sound decision. Does that mean that you can go against what Turnkey says, hey, this is going to be your best 3 options? And could you say, hey, I want option number 4? Absolutely. It's the same way that happens, you know, in executive search. And that's a world that I'm very familiar with as well. So you can get a headstrong person to say, hey, this is what I want, but it's a job of the search firm to come up with options. So that's what they do. And do any of these people have football experience at all? Yes. There's a lot of people that are connected. The guy that's leading the search now is a partner. He has been involved on searches for Texas, Ole Miss, Oklahoma, Indiana, Purdue, Michigan State, Arizona, UCF, basketball searches at Michigan, Texas, Arizona, NC State, Indiana, etc. He was voted as college football's most intriguing people in suits by Sports Illustrated. These guys have been around. A lot of times they've been either in search or they were maybe former assistant GMs or former directors of player personnel that have decided to get into that world. So you can take a look. Korn Ferry's big in the space. Turnkey, which is now part of ZRG. So that's where the Turnkey ZRG comes from. A lot of them do have experience in the space and they do have the relationships in the space. And that's, you know, sometimes even more important. It's not their job to decide. It's their job to give the research. So yeah. And Turnkey's helped a lot of NFL teams. I mean, Turnkey is the cream of the crop when it comes to search firms. No, not a bunch of computer nerds. If anything, these are a bunch of just sales guys and business development and relationship people at the top level, and then a bunch of research wizards at the bottom level. But it's very much a relationship game, and then it's ultimately presenting a portfolio to the university.
Yeah, you're not going to get any information like this anywhere else, man. Shout out to Stadium Miguel and Daniel's expertise and knowledge of
the world.
Yeah, no, I'm very involved in the executive search space with the business that I'm involved with. I am I got reached out to a job by Turnkey like 6 years ago. So that was funny. Small world, but not to be at this level. And maybe one day I could have gotten there, but no, I'd be more than happy. Hit me up on Twitter DM. I don't want to get you guys in the weeds here. It's a lot more convoluted than just that, but you know, their decision, nothing's changed. I want to let you guys know there's nothing that's going to change now in the next few weeks, barring an extension that anybody gets. Florida is still in their due diligence and getting lists together. That doesn't mean that it is the list. It means that here are potential people. Here's what their interest level might be. Here's how possible or plausible those candidates are. So when we talk about not knowing somebody's buyout, like Turnkey can find out that answer if it's not public information, right? So just because it's not public to you doesn't mean that that information hasn't been happening. Is it a stealthy way to get Lane? Potentially, but it's also what you owe it to yourself to do. Florida looked at one candidate 4 years ago. They can't do that again.
That's insane. Any job.
In any job. No, you're right. Especially from an outside organization.
Yeah.
Right. Like if you were to say, hey, you know, our offensive our head coach is leaving. Let's promote our offensive coordinator. He's been doing well. Like, fine. But to do that as an outside organization is nuts.
Yeah.
Dan, would you ever work for UF's athletic department? I did when I was in undergrad. I worked at the recruiting office. Would I go work for them? Probably not.
They ain't got enough money to pay Dan, man. What y'all crazy? They ain't got enough money for Daniel. Hey Dan, what do you think about this? What do you think the waiting process, like do you as an organization or Turnkey, who's ever making the committee or the group of guys is making the decision, do you have to get the word at least behind the scenes from Lane week one of December? Or do you go past that, you know, into no man's land of the possible other candidates being hired by other teams, schools, et cetera? Like what was your approach, or what do you think the approach would be from our side?
I don't think that Florida would go past probably December 15th without having an up down answer. It doesn't mean that that's when he would start, or maybe even a little bit earlier, maybe like December 10th. Cause you can't go to option 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. If you wait too long, I think that Florida will know the direction, maybe even by Thanksgiving, that Lane Kiffin's going to go. And from there, you do have your other options. And that's why you need a company like Turnkey. You need to constantly be on top of what else is happening, right? Who else are these coaches talking to? How far along are they? You know, all of these guys talk, and all of these guys, some of it is a little bit of leverage, but these guys know, hey, who's Penn State going after? And is that a potential target that I need to move on? Or what does my offer look like compared to what this other offer could potentially look like? These are relationship guys. These are guys that are on the phone with Jimmy Sexton daily in weekly, or other folks at CAA or Trace Armstrong or whatever. So these are your ears on the ground and your boots on the ground. And that's what you need. You don't want Scott Strickland being completely absorbed with doing the head coaching search. Now, in your mind, you might think, hey, yeah, all he should do is be focused on finding a new head coach at Florida. And while I agree, Scott Strickland is also not in the search business. He doesn't have the expertise, the time, or the people involved to do that full-on comprehensive search. And to be honest with you, maybe even some of the information. These search firms have access to information and analytics and the way that it can be displayed or the way that it can be uncovered that maybe the University of Florida doesn't need to have. And they're going to make a hefty paycheck.
Is it a conflict of interest or industry norm for like a company like Turnkey to possibly work for two programs doing this coaching? Are they working with any other programs throughout? Like, it's a lot of coaching searches going on right now.
I don't think that they've been announced to be working with anybody right now.
Okay.
And if so, they probably, and I don't totally know how Turnkey works. A lot of times there's a conflicts clause where if you're going after the same people, they don't, there's a same way with like a law firm, you know, we'll have a conflicts clause, right, that would limit that. And Turnkey's going to probably make $500,000 on this search.
Light work.
Yeah, not bad.
Can they give us a BOGO? Office, right? Can they give us a BOGO for the baseball search too?
Yeah, how about that? I do think Kevin O'Sullivan, and I put it on Twitter, Kevin O'Sullivan's going to be back before the season started. And I guess according to Zach Albaverde's reporting, there was not a huge desire to keep Gerolman. So I don't know exactly what that means or why. I mean, he was your interim head coach. I know that he's best friends with the new Tennessee coach who was there, one of their assistant coaches that got promoted. I think Coral Springs High legend David Kopp might be the interim. I don't think it's been announced yet, but how about this though, Corey? We're getting a tour of the stadium, and David Kopp was there on a recruiting trip with walking through. And he recognized my brother. I think that's the first time they've seen each other in like 20 some odd years. So that was cool. Nice. Cool to see. Nice. All right, guys. Hopefully that answers some of your questions. If you have more, feel free to reach out on Twitter. I can talk about this stuff all day.
My DMs are still $100. It's not free like Dan. So if you hit my DMs, just hit the Venmo as well.
Guess on how many we've spoken with. I think Florida has vetted over 10 people right now. I don't know how many they've officially talked to. And we have to think of it differently. It's not the same way as you going for a job interview and having three or four rounds of interviews. It's just not that straightforward. Right. But we can talk more about that as we get a little bit further along. Just know right now it's just heavy on the research and kind of discussion phase. And I would imagine Scott and Turnkey are talking probably every other day and maybe every 3 days in terms of what they have new. So awesome, guys. Well, we'll see you guys same corner, same time next week. Go Gators, beat Georgia.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com. That's AbilityChiro.com.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.